Hi everyone, welcome to China Money Podcast, a weekly in-depth interview show on private equity, venture capital, and hedge fund investments in China. I'm your host, Nina Xiang. Every week, I talk to a Chinese fund manager, an industry expert, or an analyst. We discuss strategies, industries, opportunities, and challenges investing in the Chinese markets. To get our program, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or go to our website at chinamoneypodcast.com and sign up to our newsletters. You can also like our Facebook page or follow us on Twitter at ChinaMoneyPod. Our program is free and this is made possible by support from our listeners, our advertisers, and sponsors. If you'd like to support us, it's simple. Just go to ChinaMoneyPodcast.com and click on any of our sponsors' ads and sign up for their great services. Thank you all so much for your great help and support. Our guest today is Sam Gupta, CEO of Grand Trunk Capital Management, a Palo Alto, California-based alternative investment management fund specialized in investing in India. Even though China Money Podcast focus is on the Chinese market, but we do occasionally cover related emerging markets in the region. And I hope you will find Mr. Gupta's insights on the Indian markets interesting and helpful. Sam Gupta previously managed QIF Management in partnership with Soros Fund Management, which invested more than $2.5 billion in India, at times one of the largest overseas investors in India. Gupta was also the founder and portfolio manager of another India-focused fund, Passport India Fund, and was also previously a managing director at Waterstein Ventures. But before we go to my conversation with Sam Gupta, let's first quickly review the news. I'll try to keep it under 1 minute. ANZ Research released its report on China's fourth quarter GDP growth. Of course, it's old news that fourth quarter GDP rebounded to 7.9%, up from third quarter 7.4%. For the whole year of 2012, Chinese economy grew 7.8%, higher than the government's target of 7.5%. Key drivers of the recovery is faster implementation of fiscal investment programs and also debt issuance of local governments and companies. ANZ confirms that they think next year the economy will recover further to perhaps 8.1%, but inflation will become more of a concern, and ANZ expects inflation to be at 3.5% to 4% this year. UBS China predicts that QFII's stake in the Chinese stock market will possibly jump fivefold in the next 5 to 10 years. QFII is, of course, the Qualified Foreign Institutional Investor Pilot Program, and currently QFII and RQFII, which is the same thing, but only the currency is in RMB, takes about, in total, 1% of the Chinese stock market. So UBS predicts that portion of 1% will likely grow to 5% of the total Chinese market, which is still very small. Lastly, Sanford Bernstein released a report on Chinese banks' valuations. It believes that despite the recent rally in Chinese banking shares, which saw its shares risen by 25 to 40% since last August, Bernstein still thinks valuations are attractive, currently trading at 1.3 times stated book value, up from 1 time in July 2012, but still below pre-2012 levels. As always, Bernstein continues to favor Bank of China and China Construction Bank because of their stronger liquidity positions. Great, that's a quick news review for the past week. Here is my conversation with Sam Gupta. He talked to me in New York. Hope you enjoy it. Hi, Sam. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
First, tell us a little bit about your firm, Grand Trunk Capital.
Grand Trunk Capital is a private investment partnership meant for institutions and high net worth family offices, focusing on special investments in India. We've been in business for the last 3 years, but really in the last year or so is when we've gone out and started looking and raising some capital and made some investments in India.
And previously, you managed QAF Management, which is a partner fund with Soros Management, right?
Exactly. We managed a fairly large fund in partnership with Soros Fund Management called QIF, which at a point was one of the largest overseas investment funds in India.
And what was the strategy of that fund?
The strategy that my team has been working on all along now and in the past is that we focus on some of the 5 or 10 best investment ideas across sectors, across geographies, within the Indian markets. So we are not a trading fund. We tend to take longer term positions. We tend to take focused positions in Indian companies where we think there's sufficient mispricing and we'll see sufficient upside down the road.
So sort of value, research-based.
Very research-based, very value-driven, and one could almost call us very much focused on catalyst-driven opportunities.
Could you talk a little bit about the performance of that fund?
The fund in 2012 was at 42%. And
that is Grantron Capital.
Grantron Capital. And we're just in the market, and we're talking to some large investors about raising some subsequent capital.
Tell us a little bit about the 42% performance you had for 2012. What are some strategies or investments that worked really well to contribute to that number?
Right. We had a very bullish view on the banking system in India early 2012, but we were not very comfortable with the macro, both globally and domestically in the Indian market. So towards the middle of the summer, we started buying into some of the Indian banks. That worked very well for us. One of the best performing sectors. Besides that, there were some situations in the media space, which because of regulatory changes and policy changes, created tremendous amount of opportunity. And one of the large investments of ours got bought out by Diageo, one of the largest liquor companies in the world, at a significant premium to its market price. And that's the investment we got into sometime early 2012.
Now you're going out to raise more money for Grantron Capital, and obviously you think it's a great time to invest in India now. So comparing it to other emerging markets, what makes India more attractive?
So it's hard to really compare, but what's interesting about India vis-a-vis, let's say, Russia, Brazil, and even China is that India is primarily a domestic market. It's a very young population. Most of the economic activity is about feeding Indians and giving them things that they need. So when the world slows down, India really doesn't slow down that much. It's impacted a lot less than, let's say, a Brazil is or China is. The other thing is a very diversified economy. Like out of all the emerging markets, almost 55% of Indian economy is services-based. So, in a strange way, it's a much more diversified economy, and at the same time, it's one of the more basic economies, which is a little bit of a paradox. But all these things create, some very interesting investment destinations.
So normally, when you get into a stock, how long do you usually keep invested, and how big a stake do you usually take?
Sure. We try to keep less than 10% of a company. I think so. We do take larger minority stakes in companies. As such, as we don't really have a timeline. In the past, we've been invested 4 or 5 years in a single stock. It really depends on the valuation of the company, how well it's executing its plan. We do feel there's a strong tailwind behind us, just because the economic growth is up, upwards of 6% or so right now, or almost 7%. So that helps us, in holding on to these good companies. Now, sometimes you'll have asset bubbles formed, and then the valuations get ahead, and that's usually a good time to get out.
Do you have any activist component in your strategy or not?
I think activist is a strong word. What we try to do is once we take a minority position, we tend to be on the similar side as the management, because in India, managements tend to control almost 50% of the companies. So their well-being and their wealth is tied up with the price of the stock. So typically, it's not as adversarial as activist shareholding has been in other cases. Also, the legal system really is stacked in favor of the management. So one as an investor can only do so much. By and large, we feel reasonably comfortable with most Indian managements, or at least the managers we tend to like, who are delivering on shareholder return and then building long-term value. We tend to think that governance is improving, and they tend to be influenced by us a little bit, and they appreciate when we give them some good advice.
You also have a special situation portion of the fund, which will take special situation opportunities in India. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that works?
So sometimes we work with managements in unlocking value in their companies, and that might involve hiving off a division or making an investment in a new project. And we tend to invest with the management. So we tend to go pari passu with the management's own investment. As you can appreciate in Asia, usually if you invest with the management, that's probably the best price you will get to invest. So that's something that we do really just for our core fund investors, give them that ability of co-investment in some of these special deals.
Can you give us an example of some recent special situation opportunities you've been looking at?
Yes, we've launched a fund last year, which was, again, did very well in 2012. And that fund focuses on banks in India. We think some of the banks in India represent a very interesting asset class. They are trading at a massive discount to some of the larger banks. And we have a special opportunity vehicle to take advantage of that arbitrage. We do think these are good acquisition targets in the future. It represents a very interesting special opportunity for the next 2 years or so.
So basically, you see there will be an industry consolidation in the banking sector.
That's exactly right. We do foresee that. Now, one can never be sure when that happens or how that happens, but the valuation differential is so extreme that inevitably one will see the valuations converge, and consolidation is a natural outlet for that.
For special situation opportunities, of course, exit channels is paramount. What kind of exit channel are you considering?
Right. I think almost anything, and in fact everything that we go in, we have a very clear strategy on exit. More often than not, the public markets tend to be the most optimal strategy. So in some cases, it does make sense to hive off the stake to a strategic investor or an acquisition or an acquirer. So anything that we look at, one of the first issues we grapple with is how does one get out of it? And that actually goes back to one of the reasons that we keep our stakes less than 10%. We feel in markets like India and other places where liquidity tends to be at a premium, getting out of a larger position is very tough. So it makes a lot more sense to take a lower stake and not become an insider in the company, but rather stay out so you have the ability of selling in the market when you feel the time is appropriate.
What kind of risk control measures do you have in place?
We run the portfolio with very little leverage to start with. So it's not a leverage strategy. And that limits our downside exposure when markets take a tumble. We have a fairly strict risk regime in terms of understanding position sizes, in terms of the average liquidity of our positions. The biggest trap one can get in those markets is a liquidity trap where one buys into something that's very hard to get out. Secondly, over the years, we've spent more time, we spent a lot of time hedging our exposure within the Indian market, which is tough to do and is expensive to do. But we have a lot of experience doing that.
What kind of hedging options?
One can use options on the market. One can use index futures. One can use single stock futures. It's still a fairly basic hedging strategy. It's not as sophisticated as one can get out in the United States and so on, and we feel as a market that's the biggest weakness in India. At the same time, we also feel sometimes it makes a lot more sense just to go to cash when things seem a little unsure.
Is right now that time?
We're actually somewhat bullish right now. I think if you look at what's happening in India, the growth's been fairly solid in spite of the fact that India has been running very high real interest rates compared to most of the nations. Secondly, the political situation in the country created really a logjam in terms of policy decisions and the reform. That's changed, and that's changing fairly quickly since September of last year. And we feel that's creating an environment where India should grow better than most people expect, and specifically the market should perform a bit better than expectations. And I think India is going to be one of the better performers in Asia and across the world in 2013.
Lastly, you've been doing a little bit fundraising yourself for some time. Is there any lessons or advice you can share with your peers? Fundraising right now?
Well, you know, we actually haven't really gone out and marketed that much. We've just, you know, met a few people who've known us in the past. I think really people want to see an edge. It really is about a value proposition that people cannot say no to. It's about putting together a vehicle, a strategy, where they can see that their risk is lowered and then they make a better return compared to the alternatives. It's a lot of hard work.
Sam, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.